and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Fantastic. How are you, church? It is great to see you today. Do you know, for a church that has been in long meetings, powerful meetings for 3 days straight, you are looking so fresh, so alive, so responsive, and so hungry for the presence of God. And it just goes to show that your spirit man is quite a different thing to our physical body, right? We can be really tired. Stacey actually said in the guest lounge this morning as we were doing run sheet, you know, I wake up tired, but the minute my spirit engaged, I was on fire again. I was alive. And I know that that is you this morning. Your spirit man actually doesn't get tired. Your spirit, the spirit within you does not get tired. It is enlivened by the Spirit of God. And I can just sense hunger in the room, pulling it out of me, pulling it out of the worship team today. And I just know that God is going to move very, very powerfully. But before I get into the word, my notes are glowing under that light. It's like UV light on the highlights. That's probably a good thing this morning, isn't it? My spirit is alive. My eyes might need a little help. So I do want to just mention a couple of people before I get into the word today. And first of all, that is Joel Storer and his beautiful wife, Bianca, who I think might be out with a child or something. Why don't you stand up, Joel? I know we welcomed you at conference, but this is Sunday, and we are just thrilled to have you. You may not have been at conference when Pastor Brad mentioned, but Joel is Pastor David Storer's son, and we have a deep love and respect for Pastor David. And Joel, we are just thrilled that we have a new friend in you. So it is so fantastic to have you here today. Can we welcome Joel and Bianca? Clap loud so she can hear outside. The other people I do want to welcome to Sunday is Lee and Matt Stenhouse. Can you stand up? There are people here who haven't met you. They're amazing, amazing man and woman of God. Very, very good friends of mine and very loved by our house. Lee just happens to be Pastor Ali's sister. However, she's more my friend right now than Pastor Ali's sister. So welcome. And Matt is just a great man of God. They're a very, very gifted couple, actually. And Andrew and I were just thrilled to have lunch with them yesterday, albeit very interrupted by lots of things at conference. But we love just hearing your heart, your dreams, and the call of God on your life. We absolutely love you. Other person I want to welcome is Pastor Cherie Rice. Why don't you stand up? Stand up. Don't be shy now. Pastor Cherie has been a pastor for many, many years, youth and young adults. She's very, very well known, particularly in Victoria, but throughout Australia. And she's done ministry in America and all sorts of places. And she's an absolute powerhouse. So if you just need that extra touch from God today, go and get Pastor Cherie to pray for you, lay hands on you. You'll be very, very blessed. And she was with us through the duration of conference, and it's so great to have her. I did just want to also talk about tonight. Pastor Dustin is preaching. He's over at Pastor Roy Marcellus's church. And what he's going to be doing tonight, he actually feels, he said to Brad, Pastor Brad, can I just operate in the prophetic tonight? I just want to give out personal prophetic words. And Pastor Brad said, oh, no, sorry. No, he's out of the room. Don't tell him I said that. Bleep that from the podcast. That's a fib. And Andrew Hannah is going to hold me accountable because he's bored. And so, sorry. So he's just going to be bringing people, actually, some people up on stage, praying for them, prophesying over them. And so you want to be here tonight and be under that anointing. Can I give you a little hint about prophetic words as well? I was talking to Lee Stenhouse at lunch yesterday, and she goes, I was hearing particular words. And I'm like, though they're prophesying over that particular individual, I just know that God is saying that to me. You know, 10 prophetic words might be given, but I'm telling you, there are 300 people in the room at any given time that may relate to. That's how the prophetic works. So can I just say, if you didn't get a personal prophetic word, you need to be asking the Holy Spirit, what relates to me? What is your rhema for me? But Pastor Dustin Bates will be coming tonight and prophesying over individuals, and it's going to be very, very powerful. So you want to bring people. Do you know what? Even unsaved people, people that don't yet know Jesus, need to be under the power of God, because we're in a day and age that is very focused on the concrete and on the natural. They go to Miranda, they'll go where whatever hits pleasure centers in the brain. But what people really underneath all of that, if you just have eyes to see, what they're really hungering for is the power and the presence of God. If you bring them here, they will be touched by the power and presence of God. In fact, they're encountering it in your life already and wondering, what on earth are they feeling when they're around you? And they're going to find out as you bring them to church, and as they're under the power of God, they'll have an encounter with Jesus Christ, and they'll be forever changed, and they'll be saved, more importantly. Today, I just do want to bring a word. In one sense, it's a heart-to-heart. As someone, a daughter of the house is one way of putting it, but I'm one of you. We're together. We're brothers and sisters in the faith in this particular house of God, and I want to bring a word today that is from a daughter of the house to the house. And we're going to receive some really powerful ministry tonight, but I do believe there is something God wants to say this morning. I could go through every message of conference. You know, right from the beginning, when Pastor Chris said last Sunday, something new is breaking out, something unprecedented is breaking out in this place. And Pastor Brad said this morning, and I just have felt this all the way along, it is only the beginning. It's not like it is accomplished. Yes, it is accomplished in Christ, but this is just the beginning of something new. See, the new comes so that we can live in a new space. Then he talked about risking it all, like not holding some back, but literally throwing your lot in and risking it all to see God move in your generation, because you have one life to live. You know, 80-something years to live. Some of us, many more. We have good genes in my family. Andrew's grandmother is 95 years old. I'm hoping for a long, long life. And he's honored his parents, and so he has promised that. So, risk it all. You have one life. And then we went into expansion and authority with Pastor Janine. The fact that we take personal authority over our inner world, and out of that comes power and authority to minister the world that we're in. And then we talked about the usual place, moving from the usual, the comfortable, the predictable, into something that is extraordinary, that is of presence, that is different to the usual place. And that is the place that God moves. Vicky talked about divine forgetfulness, and we stepped over a threshold and left it behind and forgot it. We just no longer give it attention. It does not deserve our affection any longer. And Dustin talked about a crisis of capacity, that God has unlimited oil. That is never the issue. The amount of oil is never the issue. Or as my son will put it, petrols. Do we need petrols for the car? There is enough petrols for everyone, for all of your life and more. You just need to give him a bigger tank to fill, enlarge your capacity, and there is a stretching and sometimes pain in the process. But man, if you make space, he will fill it, and he'll keep on filling it. There, it is infinite. I tell Oliver, how much does mummy love you? And he says, 20 times infinity. And that is how much oil God has to pour out. We talked about divine turnarounds last night, the fact that in one day, something could shift so radically to change the destiny of a place and a generation. We really have been living in this conference in Psalm 24. Literally, we have been with the King of Glory. We open up the gates to let the King of Glory into this place, and he just dwelled with us richly over conference. It has been a powerful experience. And like Peter, we were shown our true identity. Like Mary, we had our inner world further crafted to carry what God would cause this church to carry. Like Isaiah, we had our thinking, our heart, our speech transformed by fire. It has been an incredible couple of days. Can I just say, you came away. It cost you something. And to those that were, for whatever reason, you were shift working or whatever, couldn't make certain things, it's okay, because God did it in the church and you're a part of the church. You're a part of a church that was in a different space. And if you're a guest too, you are in a place today that is different to what it was last Sunday. So you are a benefactor of that. But you came away, you crossed a threshold. You moved into something. And you said to God, here I am. And he moved in you and filled you. He did. And I believe that he is inviting us to stay in that place with him. I don't believe it's we didn't visit God. God didn't visit us. Yes, it was a visitation, an hour of visitation. But he wants to dwell with us. Psalm 24 is all about the King of Glory dwelling among his people. And I believe that God today is saying, come and join me. The words of Jesus to you today, come and join me and remain in the new. Come and join me and remain in the new today. I want to read to you out of Matthew 14, 22 to 32. And yes, it is very familiar. And in fact, Brad preached on the passage preceding this, or the event preceding this, yesterday. And oftentimes, when things are familiar, we take a familiar mindset to them. But I would ask today that you bring fresh eyes to this. I would ask today that you open your heart. Let he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying today. Let God open your eyes to expand the vista of what you see in him today. So let me read the passage to you, Matthew 14, verses 22 to 32. As soon as the people were fed, Jesus told his disciples to get in their boat and to go to the other side of the lake while he stayed behind to dismiss the people. After the crowds dispersed, Jesus went up to the hills to pray. And as the night fell, he was there praying alone with God. But the disciples, who were now in the middle of the lake, ran into trouble, for their boat was tossed about by the high winds and the heavy seas. And at about 4 o'clock in the morning, and isn't that always the time, you know, when things just seem they're at their darkest, they seem at their scariest, Jesus came to them walking on the waves. When the disciples saw him walking on top of the water, they were terrified and screamed, "A ghost!" Then Jesus said, "Be brave and don't be afraid. I am here." Peter shouted out, "Lord, if it's really you, then have me join you on the water. If it's really you, have me join you on the water. Come and join me. Come and join me," Jesus said. "Come and join me." So Peter stepped out onto the water and began to walk toward Jesus. And Peter stepped out onto the water and began to walk towards Jesus. I believe in this place today that there is a deep pull in individuals. There is a pull on your spirit. There is a pull on your heart in God that you are saying, "Lord, if you call me, I'll come. If you call me, I'll come." And I believe this morning he is saying to you, come and join me. Come and join me. Come and join me. There is no lack of desire in the heart of God for you to break the sound barrier, for you to wait. It is not, can I just say, it is not for special individuals. The opportunity to come and join him is available for whomever may hear, whomever may come. He's saying this morning, come and join me. And perhaps you, like the disciples, are freaking out a little bit about the circumstances. But I believe in all of us, there is a breakthrough spirit that God is stirring, like he did in Peter, compelling us forward to follow. Even though it's unprecedented, there is actually, can I just say, there is revivals that have happened before. There are moves of God that have happened before. There are things that you have seen and tasted. But what we are in and what God is taking us further and deeper into is actually unprecedented. And with that comes the truth that there is no point of reference. And if you are a little bit on the control freak side like I can be at times, that's a scary prospect. And yet there is something in me compelling me forward to go to him, to walk on water, to actually move beyond what is precedented to the unprecedented. And you know, something's calling you forward. And even though you can prepare heart and spirit, even though you can prepare heart and spirit, you can't prepare everything for this. There is a part of this that is a trust journey, that is a God, Jesus, if you call me to come, I will come. Though I don't know how, though I don't have water walking shoes, though this is something that I can't train and skill for, I can prepare my heart and my soul for it, I can give space to it, but it's something really at its core I can't prepare for. And I've got to be okay with the possibility that I actually don't know the outcome. I don't know. So some of you, when Jackson was talking last night about lines and hard to get seats, you default to the practical and go, oh my gosh, I don't know if I really want this. We can't control the outcome of what God's about to do. The supernatural, that what God wants to usher in, what he wants, what he's inviting and bidding you to come into, you can't control the outcome. That's a scary prospect. And can I just say, you've got to be okay with separating from the crowd. You've got to be okay with the truth that we may look different to other churches. We actually may look different to the churches that are more acceptable in our nation right at this point in time. We've got to be okay, like Peter, that if you fellas are in the boat in safety freaking out, I have got to be okay. If I want to go to the Savior, if I want to go to where he is moving, that I actually have to, there has got to be not a, Peter wasn't bitter about it. He wasn't angry about it. He never spoke in that passage against the disciples, but there was a separation that occurred where he jumped out of the boat and he had to be willing. He had to be willing to actually be the first. That is the nature of breakthrough. That is the nature of new. That is the nature of unprecedented. And I am yet to find someone who pioneered something and went into something new that didn't look a little bit odd. You know, Hudson Taylor, and I'll talk more about him in a moment, when he wanted to reach inland China and when every other missionary was wearing Victorian era clothing and looking very Anglo and white in a very Asian and traditional nation, decided to take on the clothes of the people. He wore a long ponytail down the back, and it did have some spiritual implications to it in the eyes of the people. And the missionaries judged him harshly and said, how dare you? Like, you're an idiot. What are you doing? And yet, the inland of China was only reached because he broke through and he chose to separate, not in a spirit of bitterness, but actually to be willing to go where nobody had gone. You know, water walking, can I just say, will open a whole new realm of possibility, because it is the impossible, that you kind of actually got to be, you've got to be aware that it will ruin you. It will actually wreck you, because once you've tasted of what it's like to walk on water, everything else, every other experience will actually pale into insignificance. You will be wrecked for forms of godliness that deny his power. You will be ruined for expressions of religion and Christianity that are about the glory of man and the celebrity of man and women. You will be ruined for wasting your life on things that do not have eternal. You've got to be, I'm telling you, you have got to be ready for this. You have got to be aware that this is what it means, because I don't think, and look, Peter was still human after it. And I intentionally did not read the end of the passage, because it's not the word of God today. It's not the rhema today. But the truth is, I just don't think that he ever went back to normal. Not that he ever was in the first place. He never went back to a spiritual normal. an average after walking on that water. And in fact, I believe that water walking was actually key to him reaching the known world. Ruined. You will be a wrecked people. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with that? Because you will not be satisfied with normal. A couple of things. I really believe this morning, and there's such a hunger in this room. We will have a time to respond to God. But can I just say a couple of things out of this passage that I feel God is saying to us? And number one is make a move, make a move, make a move, make a move. Can I just say, Jesus said, come. He said to Peter, come. But can I just say, ultimately, Peter didn't have to. Peter didn't have to. Jesus said, come. But Jesus, the nature of the image of God in man and the way he created us is he will not control your free will. He will not, even in a church like this, he will not force individuals to comply. That is religion. It is not grace. He gives the choice to us. Will you come? Like I said, with Hudson Taylor, he experienced the call from God from a very young age. And it came to a point in his life where God is like, it is time to activate the call. And the first step is for you to move to London, big city. You know, he's in a rural area. And he's like, no money, no resources, no place to stay, and yet he obeyed and God began to open the way before him. But can I say, the obedience, the stepping out had to happen first. He must make a move. He made a move. With Israel, it wasn't until they got to the edge of the sea that it was parted. The sea did not part until they were on the edge of the miracle. But really, it required the faith before it was parted. Same with the Jordan. It was still flowing before they made a move. David, Goliath was not dead before he picked up a sling and 5 smooth stones. Goliath was still alive. He's looking into the eyes of intimidation and sizing it up, and God had put something in his heart. But ultimately, David had to make a move. He had to pick up the sling, the 5 smooth stones, and come at that giant in the name of the God of Israel. Esther, before she told the king that there was a terrorist taking a people down in a genocide, her life hung in the balance. She had to make a move and risk it all. God had put the word in her heart. Her uncle had confirmed it. But really, Esther had to make a move. There was no guarantees but a promise from God. Lydia, there was no church in Philippi before Lydia opened her home. She had to make a move. There was no evidence. It wasn't like she just took over a church and it's all there for her. She, by faith, had to respond to a call from God and open her home and trust that God would move. Can I just say, in PNG, Papua New Guinea, it was one of, I've got to be honest, Pastor Brad, it was one of the scariest experiences of my life. And I feel embarrassed to say that to Pastor Brad because he's a seasoned veteran in that nation. But honestly, facing that crowd, particularly on the first night, was so daunting. And I've got to even say, to be completely honest with you, part of it was I have a senior pastor who is an absolute general in the faith, and I didn't want to let him down, to be quite honest with you. I don't want to look stupid. He sent me and put a stamp on me. I've got the Spirit of God in me, but I don't want to fail. But you've got to make a move, haven't you? And I had miracles in my heart. God had promised me there would be healings. He promised me the word of God would flow. There was prophetic words that the word would land and explode and a stronghold would be broken. And so God gave me a word. Start with the healing of backs. And I'm like, could you give me something easier? Could I just start with what I'm comfortable with, which is just preaching, you know? So we called forth a couple of backs and saw some healings. But I'm telling you, if I could translate the terror in my heart to help you understand that you have to make a move before you see the miracle. You have to make a move before you see the miracle. You have to make a move. You know, can I just say, for you, you have to make a move after conference, after what God has done, to walk different. You have to make a move if God spoke to you about to make daily space. And you know what it looks like? Setting your alarm for 5:30 a.m. Or if you're a night person, actually turning the TV off at 8 o'clock and dedicating 8 till 10 to the Lord. Can I just say, you have to make a move. I should say not never, but on most things for me, I am moved in my emotions in a moment, but then the rest is discipline. The rest is making a move in faith that God, if I make space, He will fill it. You need to start moving into the thing He spoke to you about at conference. You have to. For some of you, if it's to begin writing, you actually need to write. I knew that would turn on me. I knew that would turn on me. How do you know I haven't already? Do you know what? I really believe for someone who's been dating someone a long time, it's time for you to put a ring on it. For some of you that have been holding off, and I don't say these things lightly. For some of you that have been holding off having children because you're freaked out about how it will change your life, it is time to step out in God and say yes to raising a generation of godly disciple children. For some of you, it is about stepping out and praying for the sick. Some of you have been getting prophetic words and you don't even realize, and you need to start praying them out because prophets are intercessors first. Time to walk different. Make a move. Today you may be saying, if it's Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come. And I'm telling you, He's told you already, come. He said it. Let me confirm it for you. He has said, come, and you must come. The next move, it's over to you. It's over to you. Second thought, move from the natural to the supernatural. Move from the natural to the supernatural. You know, there is nothing so impossible as walking on water. There's actually nothing physical that you can do that is, I think, as impossible as walking on water. Now, we are wowed by people who will, you know, those cliff face climber people, abseilers, people that, on one sense, conquer the natural elements. They scale mountains. There's those base jumping people. I wish I was of that nature. I want a bungee jump, but I'm scared of the capillaries in my eyes bursting. I value my sight too much. And I have watched the videos and read the stories of Blondin, the tightrope walker, who walked across Niagara Falls on a beam. I've seen tightrope walkers, and they are incredible. But can I say, at the end of the day, that is skill. That is skill. And every person in here is skilled. And God has given you skill. They're like, skills are anointed. Skills can be anointed by God. There are people here and you are skilled. But there is nothing like a supernaturally energized gift in the Holy Ghost. It is a new level of operation. Walking on water was not skill. Walking on water was not skill. It was literally a person who took their master at his word, who took Jesus at his word and said, I do not have the skill to do this, but I connect myself with the power of the one who is the source of all power, and I will move from the natural into the supernatural, and I'll forever be changed. I'll walk on water. And so he stepped out of the boat, the natural realm. He stepped out of where everybody else was somewhat safe, though fearful. He stepped out of what was usual, predictable, to embrace the supernatural. He actually went to the one who suspends natural law in favor of something that was of the spirit, something that was supernatural. Can I just say, what I am not saying here in moving from the natural to the supernatural, that you just become weird and strange. What I am saying is that we are people who believe in divine appointments and divinely orchestrated circumstances. We are people who believe in miraculous healings. Although we absolutely respect medicine, we have anointed doctors in our midst. We have people that have the Spirit of God on them. But we believe that they will operate divinely in their medicine and supernaturally in their medicine, will be anointed. But we believe in miracles and signs and wonders. We believe in the God that is fighting for us in the unseen. We believe it. We regard people by the spirit, not by the flesh. I can look at a young person who is an absolute scamp to some of you, and I can see beyond the natural and go, I see the potential in you. I am not going to regard you by the flesh. I want to regard you by the Spirit of God. There are going to be people coming in here. Then you have got to have eyes to see. Regard them by the Spirit of God. Not sloppy in our sense of security, not sloppy in the way that we do things. We are excellent. But we are people that see by the Spirit of God, not in the natural. We believe that provision comes from unlikely places. You know, if Jesus can pull a coin out of the mouth of a fish, there can be supernatural provision for housing in Sydney. I've got house-sized faith inside of me for some of you. Because if you are called to this city to minister, and some of you are called to put roots down and long-term plow and till the earth of Sydney, God will give you a house. There is supernatural provision. And can I just say, he rarely explains how. That is the nature of the supernatural. He will reveal some things, but I've just found most times it's, trust me, I'm doing it, and I'll show you the steps. You just call for backs, and I'll heal them. And then I'll tell you the next step. I don't like that. Give me all five now. You know what? Your greatest strengths and achievements will never even come close to walking in the supernatural purposes of God. Your greatest strengths and achievements, and there are many in this room, and it's never to diminish. I just never want to be one to diminish and not honor how God has graced you in your natural gifting to achieve, but it pales into insignificance what he can do walking in his supernatural purposes. Just very, very briefly, when I was 18 and on the altar in India praying for the first time in a mass crusade, I remember standing at the fork in the road in the spirit, and almost the Spirit of God verbally, like audibly saying to me, will you believe, will you believe that I can use you to heal people? It was a battle of the mind going on for me. I can believe that the prophet will do it. I can believe that that anointed person can do it. But me, I don't know. I'm shy. I was painfully shy. I wish I could take you back and encourage some of you. I was at the fork in the... You're not shy, Rory. Maybe you are. I don't know. Fork in the road for me. Will you believe? Will you believe that God can heal through you? Will you believe that you can command a womb to open? And sure enough, I commanded a womb to open, and 18 months later I went back to India and met a 9-month-old baby that a woman that had had something like 12 miscarriages had had. It was a fork in the road to believe. Another fork in the road for me was going for a job interview for a leadership role in a school. And I walked out of the interview and stopped to get some petrols for my car. And God spoke to me at that petrol bowser and said, you will be offered this job. But there's another one coming very, very shortly, and it's full-time ministry. So here before you lies a choice, and God didn't tell me what to do. You can have full-time education. It's very noble, by the way, if anyone's in it. I love teachers. I love the education system. I love principals. I was in it for 8 years. But God laid before me a choice. Josh, you are going to be a principal. I really believe it. You have leadership all over you. All over you. I just see you extending even into civic, parts of civic leadership as well. I just feel like there's governmental anointing on you as well. But I had a fork in the road moment at that petrol bowser. Will you choose full-time education and career? It'll be great. Or what I'm about to open up that you don't know yet. You don't know what's coming, but I'm telling you there's something coming. I chose the one that was the supernatural path for me. And can I just say, the first year sucked. But that's never a confirmation, is it? Because Peter may have fallen into the water. Peter may have fallen into the water. But the truth remains, he walked on it. He walked on the water. Like, what on earth are we focusing on the falling for? He walked on water, people. Make a move. Move from the natural to the supernatural. And finally, move to a place of enlargement. You are being called by Jesus to a place of internal enlargement. Can I just say, not for yourself. You'll benefit, trust me. Living a big, enlarged life in God, there is nothing like it. You'll be tired at times. You'll be stretched at times. You'll have to reconfigure some things, but there is nothing like it. It's time to start. At the beginning of the year, actually middle of the year, about July, God said to me really, really clearly, it's time for you to start attempting to do hard things again. It's time. It was a very left field word for me in July. I do hard things all the time. And he's like, no, really, it's time for you to start doing difficult things. To actually, can I just say by it? It was very clear to me. He was not saying work harder. He was not saying apply more sweat to the brow, because I know how to work hard. I know how to. I am so proud that I will work through the night to get it done if I need to. And I'm not saying that as a badge of honour. It's sometimes ridiculous. Honestly, it's flesh at times. But he was saying, do some difficult things that you would naturally shy away from, and just set your face like flint. Set your face like flint, that I'll empower you. It's not the sweat of the brow or the difficulty or the hard work. It's step up to the plate, because I need a woman of God to address impossibilities for a lost and dying world. I actually need someone to just stand there in that spot for me and set your face like flint and go, it is impossible, but I'll empower you to do it, because I actually need to do it in the earth, and I needed to do it through flesh and blood. You know, just recently there was a story in the news media of 12 children stuck in a cave, Tam Luang Cave in Thailand. And it's a 10-kilometre cave complex that is just full of submerged bits, very, very dark in big, large tracts of this cave complex. And for whatever reason, these 12 young football players and their 25-year-old coach ended up lost in this cave complex. And the world was wondering where they were for quite some time, and they were discovered, and we were in uproarious joy. And we all connect to stories like that, because I see my sons in that situation. You know, I can visualize what it'd be like to be a Thai mother. One day your kid's playing soccer and the next day they're lost and probably dead. The joy I felt when those kids were discovered, you know, amazing. But then the heartbreak to know that where they were, where they were located, we may have found them. We know where they are, but it's impossible to get them. And they weren't saying that on the news media, but I was reading between the lines and going, this thing, on one level, on most levels, is a really hopeless case. They don't say stuff like that in the media, but maybe they say it about the wrong things. But this really was one of those situations. Short of a miracle, that would be their grave. That would be their grave. In fact, Richard Harry Harrison, the Australian that was part of that rescue effort, actually said after the event, thank God, he said it was a 0% probability. So if you like game theory, it was 0% probability. But the funny thing is he went in anyway. He went into the cave. That is madness to the natural mind. Madness. And yet he attempted it because 13 lives, and in fact there was four other workers they discovered when they went in, it's come out now, that they literally went back and forth taking gear off, giving, it was, you've got to read about it. It is a miracle, a modern day miracle. So 13 lives hung in the balance. And so he looked impossibility, set his face like flint, he looked impossibility straight into the eyes and said, it is a 0% chance probability. And yet I rebuke you in Jesus' name, cave. I rebuke you. I am coming at you because, and he didn't probably say this, but I'm telling you, you're saying this today in your spirit. You are the God of the impossible. You are the God of the impossible. And he is calling you to do hard and holy things on this earth. Because there is a lost and dying generation. And however big this church gets, and it will get huge. And I'm not scaring you and I'm not bragging either. It is just reality that to save Sydney and Australia and to the ends of the earth, we need churches to actually be growing with new salvations. There has to be multiple services and multiple campuses and multiple expressions in the nation. There just has to be. Because Jesus is coming back to a complete bride and a beautiful bride. And the church is the expression of that. We offer the only eternal rescue that humanity will ever know. You carry in you, though it looks impossible at times, though that family situation looks completely far gone, though that child away from Christ looks like an impossibility, though that healing looks like an impossibility, though the dream that God has put in your heart that you know is from God seems impossible and too hard, you carry the only eternal rescue that humanity will ever know, and it requires you to enlarge, to move to a place of enlargement. You actually can't do what you're called to do at the size you are now. You actually can't, you in your own strength can't heal a back any more than I can in PNG. You in your own strength, as skilled as you are, can do some great things, good things, but you cannot do the impossible. But you are called to throw your lot in with the God of the impossible and allow him to enlarge you to fulfill his purposes for planet Earth. Before, I just know there's a hunger to respond to God and say yes to him in this. I want to move. You bid me to come, I'll come. I'll come. I'll come with trepidation. I'll come in my weakness. I'll come. I'm coming. I walk toward you. But with every head bowed and every eye closed right now, there are some here, and I've been talking about a God of the impossible, and you can sense what we call the presence of God. There's something different going on. Maybe even your heart is beating harder. The first step is to actually say yes to knowing him. And all of your life, you've wondered, What's real? She talks about the eternal. What is after this life? I've done some great things in my life, but what is this life all about? Can I just say your creator today is calling you home, and his son Jesus Christ laid down his life for you to reconnect you to his father, to bring you back home. And before we go any further, I just want to invite you to say yes to Jesus Christ. I did this very early in my life. When I was 6 years old, I felt God's presence and I knew He was asking me to say yes to Jesus, to come and dwell in my heart, to come and make me alive again on the inside, to be connected to my Maker. But it wasn't until 16 that it was a real adult decision for me. And I just know there are people here today that need to make that adult decision. And maybe it's actually even people that knew Jesus Christ once upon a time. Maybe you went to a school that taught about Him. Maybe you had an auntie that took you to Sunday school. Maybe you made a decision at a youth rally in your teens. But today, He's saying, come back home. We're going to pray a prayer right now for those people. And so I just ask, we do this every single service. We exist to see people connect with Jesus Christ. That is why we exist. That is why we have church. That is exactly why we have our small groups. It's why we do what we do, to see as many people come home. But it's not just a crowd. Every individual in the eyes of God matters. So let's pray this prayer, church. Dear Lord Jesus, I give my heart to You. Come, I'm coming back home. Wash me clean. Make me new. Remove the doubt. Remove the sin. I say yes to You today. Thank You that You make me new. Thank You that I do life with You now. In Jesus' name, with every head bowed.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.